My name is Grace Folsom. I'm 16 years old. Today is November 24th, 2017, and I'm with my mom, Kim Colgrove, in Olathe, Kansas. So, Mom.
Yes, honey?
Tell me about the most important people in your life.
The most important people in my life, for sure, are my kids. You and your sibs.
How many of those do I have?
Two that we know of. I'm just kidding.
What are their names?
Madison, Jake, and Grace. And you guys really are it for me, for sure. Nobody matters, has ever mattered more, and nobody will ever matter more than you guys.
Share some important lessons you've learned throughout your life.
Well, the most important lesson that I've learned, and there's some sub-lessons around that, but that is just to live in the moment. Be present and live your life in the moment, because as you know, we've had two deaths of people in our immediate family, very close to us, in a very short period of time, less than a year. Very unexpected and shocking. And that definitely left me realizing that people die and things change and nothing's guaranteed. And so to be complacent or live a half life seems like the worst thing you can do with your life. So as I apply that to myself, I think it's about being mindful and present, being here, checked in, tuned in, tapped in each day, and doing your best, and just living life, and being grateful for what you have, and stop focusing, don't focus so much. I feel like people focus so much on what they don't have, or what they can't have, or what they used to have, and not enough time focusing on what they do have, what's right in front of them, what is working. And I almost feel like that's the sickness of society now. Mentally focused in the past, relentlessly. Resentments and guilts and rehashing. And when you're not focused in the past, focused in the future, worry, fear of the future. And that's not really living. That seems like a half-life to me. So that's it. I think that's the biggest thing, is people die and things change and people get sick and nothing's guaranteed. And you know how people say, life is short, life is short. You know, you got to do that. I've said to you before, and I've said to your siblings, a life is long. Be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Life is long. I'm 51. I probably plan on living a lot more years. And I feel like I've been around a long time. Life is long. Focus on being happy.
Mm.
And you can only be happy by really living your life in each day. So that, I mean, really, that's it. After David died and Nico died, I got more focused on that. And it's healthier to focus on what is working, what you do have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess that's it.
Tell me about your grandparents.
I will tell you all about my grandparents, but it'll take hours and hours and days and days. So my grandparents were awesome. They were a big, big part of my life. So my grandma and grandpa on my dad's side, and then my grandma on my mom's side. My parents were teenagers when I was born. So they clearly were not ready to have kids. They got married, and they were married until I was 7, but my grandparents were always really involved with my brother and I and helped, and thank goodness they did, because my parents were not very good parents. They divorced, they went their separate ways, and my brother and I were very incidental to my parents. So my grandma and grandpa just made sure we always had everything we needed, and I spent a ton of time with my grandma and grandpa on my dad's side, and they loved me so much unconditionally. That's probably the only unconditional love I've ever known in my life. Just, you just knew somebody just loved you no matter what. And then, and I learned so much from them too. I learned so much from them because my parents were so unconventional and didn't really do anything well or right. And my grandparents were so conventional because they grew up in the Depression, so they were somewhat conservative and hardworking. And so I feel like I got all my values and my morals and all of that important stuff of life came from them. And then my grandma on my mom's side owned her own business in a time when there were very few female business owners. So I think she bought out the partner of her business in the 70s. Oh, there's our dog. Can you pause that? And we're back. Anyway, she was a good role model because she owned a business, I think, since the 70s. And she owned Just Right Rubber Stamp and Sign Company at 13th and Grand in downtown Kansas City, and where the Sprint Center is now. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. And she was 50% partner with a man. Her and a man owned it 50-50. And she was a very hard worker, and she worked 6-7 days a week all the time. And I would go spend weekends with her sometimes. And on Saturdays, she would work, and I would go to work with her. And like the store was closed, but I would play and hang out. But also, oh my gosh, Grace. So she used to take me all over downtown Kansas City back then. There was a Jones store, department store downtown, and it had a cafeteria in it. And we would walk from her business and walk over to the Jones store, and we could shop and eat in that cafeteria. So anyway, she was a good role model, and she loved me, and she was sweet. And she was probably the kindest, best single individual human being I've ever met. Kind, so kind, so good to people. She helped so many people out of bad situations. Anyway, she
I remember her a little bit.
Oh, I mean, she was literally like an angel on earth. She's that person who would just give you the shirt off her back. She was and forgiving and like never held a grudge, never had an enemy in her life. I mean, I don't know where I would be or who I would be without my three grandparents, because my parents were and are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, as you know. Yeah. But I had those grandparents that were a great influence.
And what kind of a role did your grandparents play in our lives? Like,
well, they were the only grandparents you guys ever knew.
Yeah. Because how, like, parents, were they involved in with us and stuff?
Yeah, super involved with you guys. And I know you remember them less than the other two kids do. I remember them
pretty well.
Yeah. You're 10 years younger than Madison, 5 years younger than Jake. But so they were your grandparents. I mean, they were just like grandparents to you guys. They celebrated all your holidays with you. We went to their house for Christmas. They did birthday stuff for you guys. They bought you guys clothes. Grandma baked cookies. I mean, she babysat the two older ones. She couldn't babysit really by the time you came along because she was getting older, but super involved and crazy about you guys, which is awesome because, you know, my parents haven't been involved with you guys, so.
Yeah. Okay, what are some jobs or careers held by past generations of our family?
So, Grandma Alice was a business owner, yeah. Owned her own business until she got, you know, pretty old. So that was cool. I think that's cool. That's impressive back then. That was a time when there weren't a lot of female business owners. Mm-hmm. And then my grandpa on my dad's side, Grandpa Jack, the grandparents I was close to. So he was a professional baseball umpire in the 50s, which is super cool. We have a picture of him downstairs where mm-hmm. he's got hit by a line drive and he's passed out cold.
Yeah.
And then he was an NFL official for 25 years mm-hmm. from the late 60s to the mid 80s. Mm-hmm. And when he retired from the NFL and in the mid 80s, he had worked more Super Bowls than any other official. He had worked 5 Super Bowls, and he held the record. I'm sure it's been shattered by now. But and then he was a regional sales manager for Wilson Sporting Goods too, and That's awesome because not only did he not have a college degree, he didn't finish high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
I forgot about that.
Just worked hard, yeah, and he ended up being... So he ran the... I think he was the manager over 3 or 4 states. So this whole... So like a Missouri... Kansas, Iowa, I don't know, because you just several states. Anyway, so that's cool.
And what teams did he do that for?
So when you're an official or an umpire, you're just
you
part
of
the... Yeah, it's just for the league. That's okay. For the league.
What are your favorite family holidays and why?
Thanksgiving and Christmas. Because Thanksgiving and Christmas... I don't know, they involve everybody. It's not like it's somebody's birthday. Well, I mean, it's besides Jesus. I mean, you know, I like your birthday, and I like making a big deal out of your guys' your birthdays. But Thanksgiving and Christmas. I don't know, because we have the tradition, and I make all the same food, and probably because I make the same kind of food meal, basically, that my grandma did. And you guys all love my food.
Yeah.
And the togetherness. And, yeah. And sitting presents. Around the table at Thanksgiving and eating and talking and hanging out and mm-hmm. laying on the couch and turning on football and just all that. That's just, it's just nice. And I like that our Thanksgiving's small and it's just intimate. It's just us. And,
yeah.
And then Christmas, of course, because it's fun. We still do the same thing. Even though you guys are, you're 16 and Madison's 27 and Jake's 22. They're adults. It's still the same because... We still all get to have Christmas morning together, which is crazy. I don't know if that'll last forever, but I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those are fun ones. I have lots and lots of good memories of Thanksgivings and Christmases.
Yeah. Did you enjoy school growing up?
Yeah, I loved school, but I loved the social aspect of school more than the academic aspects. I mean, I did fine. I did okay. I got decent grades. But yes, school, I loved school. I loved school. I am always so sad when people say how they hated high school because I loved high school. And, I mean, I loved college, too. I had fun. I had a lot of fun in college. Mm-hmm. But, again, it was the social aspect that I loved.
What all were you involved in high school?
In high school? Mm-hmm. Well, I cheered for 2 years, and then I was on the dance team for the next 2 years, and I was always captain of my squad, so I loved that. When I was on the dance team, I was a choreographer. And I was involved a little bit in theater. And then I was always on committees, like homecoming committee and things like that. I loved doing stuff. I loved the whole school spirit thing and parades and homecoming and all the dances. And yeah, loved it.
Is your life different from what you imagined it would be as a teenager?
My life is so different from what I imagined. Oh, as a teenager or as a kid?
Well, either, I guess.
Mm. Because I know when I was a little kid, I used to watch every Shirley Temple movie and every Judy Garland movie and every Esther Williams movie. And so I used to always think that I was going to be a movie star or a dancer or something. And because I did dance. And then, yeah, and then when I got a little bit older, I still thought I always thought I would do something performance or something, you know. I took some communications classes in college, and I was a DJ in my... Well, I started when I was 19. I was 19 into my early 20s. I was a DJ, and I did weddings and clubs. So then I thought I might do broadcasting or be a radio personality or television personality.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then I got married and had kids and did the domestic thing, which I always knew I wanted to have kids. For sure, I always knew I wanted to... It's because I spent so much time with my grandma, and I loved everything she did because she was a... housewife for mm-hmm. their whole marriage, but I loved it. I loved she kept her house great. She kept her yard great. She cooked dinner every night. There was, you know, a home cooked meal on the table. I loved her house was clean. I loved that. So I learned all that from her, and then I couldn't wait to do it. So
you always wanted to be a mom?
Always. Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's different than I thought it was going to be when I was a kid, but I love the way it turned out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who has been the kindest to you in your life and why?
I think that's got to be my stepmom. My grandparents definitely pop up, but I think that's got to be my stepmom, Anne, because She was very young when she married my dad and unexpectedly inherited my brother and I. I know for sure she didn't. When she married my dad, she wasn't. We didn't live with him. We were living with my mom. But we ended up with her, and she was very young, in her 20s, and she didn't have any kids of her own. And she just took us in and was so awesome to us and never made me feel unwanted or anything. And then they had my sister, but I never felt like we were half sisters or anything. I don't know. Yeah. Her and she was always like that and good to me, like even into my teens when I'm sure I was a total pain in the neck. And she was always very kind. And even to today, like I told you, I talked to her earlier today. Mm-hmm. So kind and so nice to me and makes me feel like she just loves me. And yeah.
So you've remained close to her over the years?
Yeah. She's an awesome human being. I don't know what I would have done without her and my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love her.
Mm-hmm.
How did you meet your husband, your second husband, my stepdad?
I love this story. So it was New Year's Eve, 2006, and your sister Madison was your age, and she was in trouble, and she was grounded, and I said, you can have one friend over here, and you guys have to stay home, mm-hmm. but you can have one friend sleep over, but there's no shenanigans, and you're not going out or anything.
Because we had our annual... I had my annual little gathering
at my house on New Year's Eve, yes. And so I had just a couple of friends over and their kids. Remember, we had, kids running around, and that's what we always did. So mm-hmm. it was smallish, but funnish. And so she invited Mallory, and Mallory's dad brought her over, and he came up to the door and rang the doorbell. To make sure there were adults there and there was going to be supervision. So I loved him right away, that he was a responsible parent. You know? But I'd never met him before. I had never met Mallory,
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know what came over me. He just said, hey, Mallory's grounded, and I'm letting her just do one quiet thing. And I go, oh, great, Madison's grounded too. That's right. And he goes, well, I just want to make sure there was adults here and there would be supervision. And I said, oh, yeah, they'll be kept in. I'll keep an eye on them. And he said, okay, thanks. And he started to walk away. And I said, you want to come in? And he turned around and he said, sure. And he came in, and my friends Lisa and John were in there. And I said, have a seat. John, get him a drink. And then we just started chatting. And Lisa and John were sitting at the bar in the kitchen, and we all were just chatting. And about 15, 20 minutes later, I said, well, do you want to just stay and ring in the New Year with us? And he said, well, I guess I should go turn off my truck. And he did, and he stayed and rang in the New Year with us. I'd never met him before, and we just chatted and all that. And the next week, he asked me out for coffee. He asked me if I would have a cup of coffee. That was it. That was crazy.
So my older sister got to be stepsisters with her best friend at the time, basically.
It was her best friend, and then, yeah, we ended up dating, and then we ended up getting married the next year, and then so I think they thought that was going to be really cool. That was really cool for a minute, but
yeah,
then turned out that that was not a good thing for them to be stepsisters and live together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you mind sharing what happened?
What happened what?
With David.
With David?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't mind sharing that. So David and I met on that New Year's Eve, and we just hit it off immediately that night, and then we started dating, and we just hit it off like crazy. And I think part of it is that we were both, like, at the age of 12, we were both like 40-year-olds waiting to happen. We had a lot of losses. And then we got married, and we put the blended families together and all that, and he was my person for sure. I mean, for sure. He was that guy I wanted to, you know, sit in the rocking chair on the front porch with when I was 85. And then in 2014, when he was preparing to retire from a 30-year law enforcement career, he started to get extremely anxious and struggled with depression that the months leading up to his retirement. And I don't even know exactly, we'll never know what happened, but when they took his badge and his gun and he retired, and then he was facing, you know, retirement from, that's what he had always known, is law enforcement. And he was starting a business, as you know. He had worked for 2 years in this business. He had a business partner in St. Louis. They had worked on the business for 2 years. It was ready to go, but he was very, very fearful about leaving law enforcement and what he knew and getting into the new business. Plus, he just carried a ton of trauma from his 8 years as a police officer. A lot of that spent, you know, on a midnight shift in St. Louis City, in the 5th District, which is not a very safe, you know, part of it. So he just had a lot of trauma that he carried around. I don't know what happened, but he ultimately, just less than 3 months after he retired, he committed suicide. And we'll probably really not ever really know what all led to him spiraling so quickly and so low. But yeah, and so here we are 3 years later, and I don't know. Yeah, he was my person. Well, as you know, because I've not even ever been on a date and don't want to. Yeah. So yeah.
To lighten the mood,
somebody tell a joke.
Tell me about the moment you found out you were going to be a mom.
Oh my gosh. Okay, is it crazy? So this seems crazy to me now, because you're 16, your brother's 22, but so I was 22 when I got married. Oh my gosh.
So young.
Yeah. 23 when I found out I was pregnant, and then 24 when I had your sister. So I was excited and shocked. Super excited and scared. I felt ready. Again.
40-year-old waiting to happen.
40-year-old waiting to happen. And then I just kicked into mom mode.
Yep.
Yeah.
And where did you have Madison? Tell us what country you had Madison.
I had Madison in Würzburg, Germany, because your dad was in the army and he was stationed in Schweinfurt, and we lived in a little tiny German town called Ebenhausen, and the military hospital was in Würzburg, and it was a 1940s, I swear this hospital was so, and she was born in August, and the seasons there are similar to the seasons here in the Midwest, so she was born in August, so it was hot, like probably in the 90s, and really humid. No air conditioning in this hospital. Ooh. And it wasn't like these cushy hospitals we have over here. It was a World War II hospital. So it was, you were in a room, there's six women in a room with the curtains around everybody. And that's where you labored. And then when you're ready to deliver, they will wheel you down the hall. And I was 24 and in Germany with nobody but your dad. I didn't have mom, grandma, aunts. Like, I know, crazy. So crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what jobs did you have as a teenager?
Not very many. I didn't work that much. My parents' deal was, as long as I kept my grades up and I was involved in school, then I didn't have to work. So they would give me a little bit of spending money. My dad, my stepmom. But I worked for a photographer. I had part-time jobs. I would work in the summer. I had some part-time jobs. So I worked for a photographer. I was like his little helper. And I worked for a florist, a floral shop, and I worked in a restaurant. I was a waitress.
And you were a DJ when you were 19.
That's
not really a teenager, but.
Well, it's 19. I was still, yeah, so I had to audition for the DJ company. It was owned by two men. I had to audition. They hired me. I was their only female DJ. And my first job, I was 19, and they put me in a honky-tonk in Grandview, Missouri, and I had to lie and say I was 21 so I could work there. I played country music.
You've never
music.
Told me that before.
Yeah. It was literally a honky-tonk. I mean, I think it actually was in the name, title or something. It was like a country bar. Country bar.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. In Grandview.
And I was their weekend DJ. And, and they did, like, country dancing and line dancing and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Crazy.
That's so funny.
I know.
Okay, where were our ancestors born?
So all I know is my side. So let's say on my side, on my dad's side, largely German and English. Germans like apple and Gusswein and Fetti, which my grandma always said the real family name was Von Fetti.
Wow.
And they, when they came to America, they dropped the Von. And lots of Germans, lots of German names. And then my grandma's whole side was Carters and English names and English. And then, so that's my, on my dad's side. And then my mom's side, a lot of German and Native American also.
Definitely Native American?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So my mom's grandma, was a Cherokee Indian with two Cherokee Indian parents. And yeah,
that's so cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Do you know anything about my dad's side? I know there's German on both sides.
German for sure. Yeah, I know very little, but I mean there's got to be Native American on your dad's side.
Oh, for sure.
Just based on how they their appearance and kind of their coloring in that. And
yeah. Okay. How do you feel affected by this past election?
Well,
interesting subject.
Yeah. Well, I definitely wasn't happy about this president. I'm still not happy about this president, but I don't think I'm as upset as a lot of people are because I saw it immediately. I think I even talked about this before the election, that if he is elected, then we need change worse than I thought we did. But I really see it as a catalyst for change. And so that's a good thing. I see it as the demolition before the reconstruction because there's a lot of corruption in our government. There's a ton that's not working, and I'm not a fan of the two-party system anymore because it's not effective.
Clearly.
Yeah, it's not effective. Yeah. There's just politicking. There's no governing. And so I see it as the catalyst for the most needed change, which is to... redirect our government and change our political system, and I'm hoping that either the two-party system evolves and becomes healthier, or that a third party emerges. Something. We need all kinds of change. So that's how I look at it. I look at it as a catalyst for change.
Well, he's clearly changing things.
Yeah.
Follow-up question. How have you voted ever since you were... You could vote. Have you voted?
I have voted ever since I could vote.
Every year? I've never every single one. Year?
Yeah, every single... Well, except for when I was in Germany. Let's see, was there an election when I was in Germany? But no, I think I've voted in every election, yeah.
Huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. What role has religion/spirituality played in your life?
Well, huge. More spirituality than religion, because I wasn't raised going to church, except for I used to go to church with my grandpa a lot when I was at my grandparents. But my grandpa was a devout Catholic and went to Mass every Sunday. And when he traveled all the time with the NFL and that, and when he was out of town, if he happened to be out of town on a weekend, which that's when football games were, he would never miss church. So if there wasn't a Catholic church nearby, he would just go to whatever church was there. So that was probably set a good... he's a good role model for me because he was very religious and committed to his church, but he was also very spiritual. Like, he walked the talk. Do you know what I mean? He was a very good human being. And then my grandma was not Catholic, so he went to church without her, but she was very... I mean, I guess back then you would call her, like, a God-fearing woman, but she was just very all about living... And there's the dog again. All about living a really... good, upstanding life. So enter the values and the morals and all that. And yeah, that's just not going to stop. Anyway, so they probably set the standards because my grandma would I stayed with them all the time. I used to spend the night and spend weekends and stuff, and my grandma would always say, okay, let's say your prayers before you go to sleep. So that was a good thing for them to start for me. And then as a kid, I always had this just really powerful just authentic belief in God. Mm-hmm. And so that probably helped get me through a lot of that, those bumpy years as a kid and my parents. Mm-hmm. And then now my spirituality is the biggest part of my life, for sure. I feel just a consistent and real connection to God and kind of all things, and the importance of living a really meaningful life.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's huge. Huge. All day, every day. It's huge.
And you, you and Dad didn't really, I mean, you definitely taught us about God. I definitely remember that. And, but you didn't really ever, like, shove anything at us. Like, you never really.
There's, like, an upside and a downside to that. So I wasn't raised in the church. And then as an adult, I was glad that I wasn't, because I had so many friends who had bad experiences with church and in church, and bad feelings about church and about their parents forcing them to go to church when they didn't want to when they were teenagers. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of friends that left their churches and left their religions, and bitter and angry. And so I saw a lot of that, and I thought as an adult, wow, I feel grateful that nothing was really pushed on me, so I was able to kind of discover my own spirituality, like what that meant to me and how I you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm thankful actually that I wasn't raised in the fire and brimstone, fearful kind of religion that some of my friends were.
Yeah.
So they're scared to death, and then they got all confused later in life about being socially liberal and are gay people okay and you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So then we didn't I did take Jake and Madison to church some when they were little, but and your dad wouldn't go. He didn't want to go because he had some bad experiences with in church when he was a kid. He went to church a lot when he was a kid, and he had some bad experiences of people, you know, not being nice, a lot of hypocrisy, and some just some things that left him. He just didn't want to go. And so he said, it's fine if you want to take the kids, fine if you want to go, but I'm not
going to
go.
I do remember going to church. And I would go with my dad, too. Like, when, after you guys divorced,
he started going when he was older. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. If I did a disservice by not taking you guys to church so that you could get the structure and the education in that, so that you could really understand, you know, about religion and about spirituality and about the Bible and but I don't know. That's really a tough one. And I just came from such a weird family. Grandpa a Catholic, grandma not a Catholic, so they didn't go to church together. Yeah. No one on the other side of the family ever went to church. I mean, I kind of just figured it all out for myself. And
you definitely introduced God to us, though, as kids. Just not really very in depth, but you definitely did.
Yeah. I think there's a huge piece to spirituality that people forget, which is just be a good flippin' person.
Yeah.
Like, there are
the be a decent human being.
Yeah, be a good human being. Be kind to people. Be nice to people. Be good. I mean, you know, those basic commandments, fairly good rules of thumb, yeah. You know? And
don't murder, don't steal, don't lie.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I feel like I really do feel like I imparted all of that to you guys.
Yeah.
And now you can all make your own choices.
There you go.
What religion you're drawn to or not.
What we do with our kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, last question. This is a hard-hitting one.
Okay.
Tell me how you would like people to remember you when you're dead and gone many, many years from now.
Yes, let it be many, many years from now. I would like people to remember me as someone who was always doing her best. That's important because I feel like I am always doing my best to be the best mom that I can possibly be, and to be a good friend, and just to be a good person. Like, I really do try. I really do. It's easy to be a sloppy person. It's easy to be a selfish person. That's easy. It's more difficult to be a good person and do the right thing, even when you don't have to, or even, you know, if nobody will know if you don't. So I think I would like people to remember me as someone who was always doing her best. And I like being known as a liberal person. I do, because I feel like I'm socially liberal. I'm liberal-minded. I'm fair. I feel like everything is okay with me. I really work not to judge other people. I think that is one of the biggest golden rules of life, that whole judge not lest ye be judged. We're not here to judge each other. So, I don't know. Just she was always doing her best, and she was nice, and she treated people pretty well. I'd like for you guys to say she was a good mom. That would be really important for me.
We will.
And I'd really would like people to say she was funny.
That's the most important thing, right?
That there. Kim, she was funny. Mm-hmm. It's the highest compliment. Hey, laughter's important, dude.
There you go. Well, thanks, Mom.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me here. It's been my pleasure. How long was that?